I ask you to turn with me to the book of John, chapter 17. Today is a bittersweet day, I will say that. I want you to know that every one of you will always be, I won't just stop and look at every one of you right now. You'll always be in my heart. You'll always be in my prayers. You'll all have a very special place that I'll carry you right here forever. So please know that. Please know that. There comes a time when you feel like that you do what you got to do, you know? And then all of a sudden the Lord said, I'm going to give you someone else to help you through. So that's the sweet part. That's the sweet part. And I'm sad for leaving you all, but I'm happy for who I'm going to. So I'll just say that. And then for the last month, I've had at least three different subjects that I wanted to try to talk about today. And I'm not going to use all three of them, I promise you. It just seemed like I just would go from one to the other, one to the other, one to the other, and I couldn't get settled on it. And so this past week, I was trying to pray, Lord, what do you want me to try to speak about? He brought me to the prayer that Jesus prayed the night that he was betrayed by one of his own, and the night that he spent that time with his disciples, teaching them and explaining things to them, warning them, telling them what would lay ahead, what was going to take place with him and with them. And so I don't know that I'll do much preaching today, but the prayer is a beautiful prayer. I consider it to be the Lord's Prayer. I think our Father which art in heaven, we call that the Lord's Prayer, and I don't have a problem with that, but I think it's more of a model prayer. But this is the Lord's intercessory prayer. Now, I'm not going to read all of it, but quite a bit of it this morning as we think about what was going through the mind of Jesus as he spent those last hours with his disciples. And I think it's just a beautiful sight to think about that after he taught them, then I don't have any problem believing that Jesus got on his knees and prayed this prayer for his disciples. So we'll start with verse 1, John chapter 17, starting with verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I'm going to stop right there for just now. And would you join your hearts with me in prayer? I know I can't top this prayer, but let's pray together now. Father God, we bow before you in thanksgiving. This is indeed the season of thanksgiving, but Lord, it's not just a one day a year. It's something that we carry in our hearts each and every day, that we're thankful to you for all that you are, for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you've promised to do for us in the future. So Lord, we bow before you now and just say thank you. I thank you, Father, for Grace Primitive Baptist Church. I thank you for the love that is in this place, for the commitment and dedication to you and to each other that is exhibited on a daily basis. And Father, we just praise you for it. And I pray for each and every one that your grace and mercy will be upon them. And Lord, that you will just speak to each heart each and every day with words of encouragement and uplifting words of direction and instruction for living. And Father, I pray that as we read the prayer that our Lord prayed, that our hearts will be stirred and brought back to a place where that we realize that though this prayer was prayed some 2,000 years ago, it's still in application right now. Not only did he pray for those 11 that were with him at that moment, but he prayed for us, even in this prayer. So, Father, help us to receive it this morning, and help us to honor you with that which you've given to us. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. I don't have anything new. I don't have anything. I'm not going to try to preach the Bible to you this morning. I'm not going to go from Genesis to Revelation today to try to preach it all out today. But some things in here that we all know, but I just want to be reminded of it today as we go forward. And that is in the first words that Jesus spoke in this prayer, Father, the hour is come. The hour is come. If you remember, and I know you do, but if you remember, there were other times that men picked up stones and they were going to stone Jesus. There were other times they were going to take him because they thought that's what they needed to do at that moment. And more than once, you'll read in the four accounts of the gospel, his hour was not yet come. His hour was not yet come. In everything that took place in the life of Jesus, in everything that we look at him and we say how terrible that was, and the excruciating pain that he would endure shortly after this prayer. As you think about that, how that he knew that was going to happen. He knew the timing of it. He knew exactly what they were going to do. He knew exactly how they would treat him. He knew what they would say. He knew what he was going to say. He knew what he was going to have to go through as far as the pain and the humiliation and the shame that they put upon him. And still yet, he did it. But he did it according to his timing, not man's. God was never out of control. Never out of control. You know, so many times you might read that and say, well, how could God allow His own Son to go through things like that? And the most humbling answer that I have, and I believe the true answer is, He did it for me. And He did it for you. He allowed His Son to go through that all of those things that He endured so that you and I would have eternal life. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But it was in His time, according to His schedule, according to His purpose. And I believe, and I've said this more than once since being here and this last time, I believe that God has a purpose and a plan for every single one of us. I believe that every one of us, as long as the air, the oxygen is going into our lungs, and we're able to think, and we're able to speak, we're able to move around, that there is a purpose, there is a plan that God has for us, and we should be seeking to be in His will, in His plan, in His purpose for us. So here, Jesus is saying in His prayer to the Father, but so that the disciples, and so that you and I would know, it's time. It's time. I've been here for 33 and a half years, and it's time. It's time for redemption to take place. It's time for my purpose to be fulfilled in coming to this earth. Father, the hour has come. Glorify Thy Son. I'm going to speak about that more in just a minute. That Thy Son also may glorify Thee. Everything that Jesus did, every word that He spoke, every action that He made, everything that He did, from the time of conception all the way to the time of the last breath on earth, He was in the will of the Father, and He was doing those things that would glorify or exalt the name of the Father. More than once, He would mention the fact that His Father was the one to be glorified, and here in this prayer He does too. Again, verse 2, that He says that You've given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And I believe with all of my heart that the blood of Jesus Christ is so effective and so pure and accomplished that which He came to do, that I believe with all of my heart, and Jesus said it. You can go to John chapter 6. That's one of our favorite verses. John chapter 6, you can go there and you can read where that He says, I came to do my Father's will, and of my Father's will, all that He has given me, I will lose how many? None. I'll lose nothing, but will raise them up again at the last day. And so here he's reaffirming that in his prayer. All that the Father gives me, he says, I'll give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given me. And I believe that number is sometimes we're accused of believing only a few will be in heaven. But I'm going to tell you, if you can count the stars, you can know how many is going to be in heaven. And if you are able to count the stars, then go down to the beach and pick up a handful of sand and try to count each individual grain of sand. If you can do that, then you'll know how many that have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. As many as thou hast given him, he's given eternal life to. Not one will perish. Not one. So we look at that and we just, it's the words of Jesus. It's not my words. It's not my thoughts. It's not the way I see things. We read it right out of the Bible. And if you've got a red letter edition, you know, that tells us that was Jesus speaking. And even if you don't have a red letter edition, you know that's Jesus speaking. It's just his words that he's spoken to us, that as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. And not one less, not one more. Verse 3, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. You know, we think about life eternal, and a lot of times we want to put that purely out there in the future. I've heard, and I don't mean this in a critical way, but maybe I do. I've heard people say, well, one day we're going to have eternal life. And I tell you, you have eternal life right now. You have it right now. It's not something that's out in the future. It's something that's already been given to you by the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit living in you, if you've been quickened by the Holy Spirit, if you've been given life by the Holy Spirit, you have eternal life now. And it's not something that we're going to wait for out in the future, but it's something that we can take hold of right now, this moment. He said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Now that word know, that word has just stuck in me for the last few weeks. It began back there in that devotion about Eve when Satan said, you'll know good and evil. And when you read about it and you think about that word know, it isn't just a knowledge that you have. It isn't just saying, well, I know who Jesus is. It isn't just saying, well, I've read the Bible and I understand about God. I understand that He created this world by speaking it. I understand that He made the sun stand still one day. I understand He made the sun go backwards 10 degrees one day. I understand that there were times when the enemy would consume themselves before the people of Israel would ever get out there on the battlefield. I understand the power of God. I understand exactly, as Brother Merritt was saying in his prayer, concerning that there is nothing that is impossible with God. I know that. I know that. Do you know that this morning? I know you do. Do you know that this morning, that there is nothing impossible with God? But the word know, as it's used there, is much deeper than a head knowledge of knowing who God is and knowing who Jesus is and what Jesus did. The word know means to become a part of who you are. Eternal life is something that is a part of who you are, so that knowing what God has done for us, we can take that which is given to us and we can face anything that comes our way in this life. Through that knowledge of the love of God and the peace of God that passes all understanding, of knowing what Jesus has done for me, knowing that His love is eternal, can get me from this morning to this evening. It can get me from this evening to tomorrow morning. Eternal life is not something that we'll have way out there. It's something that we can take hold of now. It's something that we can cling to. It's something that we can embrace. It's something that when we feel tired, we can embrace the fact that, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so, but the Holy Spirit has told me that Jesus loves me. He says, this is what I've come for. Yes, to secure your home in heaven. And if that's all He did for us, that's a mighty big if, but if that's all that He did for us, it would take all of eternity to say, thank you, Lord, for securing my home in heaven. But He secures our home right here also. He secures a place for us where we can experience His righteousness. We can experience His peace. We can experience His joy. We can experience all the things that He's done for us. And it gives us the strength. It gives us the encouragement. It gives us the power. It gives us the ability to fight through the struggles that we go through. It gives us the ability to cling to that truth, No matter what lies may be sent to us into our minds as to how bad things can be or how things bad things might be or what could happen or this did happen or whatever, you cling to this is life eternal. You know Jesus. And yes, I'm excited about it. You know Jesus. And so cling to that. Hold to that. No matter what. Jesus loves you. And that love will never, ever end. I don't mean to go back and something that I talked about last, I guess it was Thursday night. No, it was Wednesday night. Wednesday night. About God ordering our steps. And He says, though we might fall, it's Psalm 37 and toward the end of the chapter. I can't remember the verse number. Though we might fall, He catches us. He catches us. I encourage you to read that. It's long about verse 23, 24, 25, somewhere along in there, toward the end of that chapter. Though I might fall, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but is there anybody here that has never fallen short of God's glory? Is there anybody here that has never committed a sin? Please don't raise your hand. You'll just ruin it. Though we fall, though we fail, though we come short, He's there with open arms to catch us. This is life eternal. This is what it means to be able to sing that little bitty song that we learned as children. Jesus loves me, this I know. And I think the older I get, the more dear that song becomes to me. For the Bible tells me so. This little one to Him belongs. I am weak, but He is strong. This is life eternal. To know Jesus in that intimate, close way. To know that whatever is thrown at me, I have one standing with me. And there is the one that will shield and protect and keep me. Verse 4. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. I read that again this morning and I thought, wait a minute. It was the next day when Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. And here He says, I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. Is that a contradiction? No, it's not. I'm going to answer for you. It's not a contradiction. As far as, remember who He's praying to? It's God the Son praying to God the Father. And they had made a covenant long before God said, let there be light. In the beginning, before the world began, they had made a covenant with each other that in the fullness of time, Jesus would come and Jesus would lay down His life and Jesus would redeem His people from their sins. And in the heart of God the Father and God the Son, it was a done deal. It was a done deal, though it would take place the next day. As far as the Father and the Son, there was nothing that was going to break that covenant. There was nothing that was going to break that promise that the Son had made to the Father and the Father had made to the Son. The Son promised the Father, I'll die for their sins. The Father said, I'll raise you back up. I'll bring you back home after you've done that. That was the covenant, the promise that was made. And Jesus said, I've glorified you. I've finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world began. You know, sometimes we fall into a trap of thinking that Jesus began some 2,000 years ago when He was born in that stable in Bethlehem. Sometimes we think that was the beginning of who He was. But no. He's always been. He is the eternal Son of God. When God said, let us make man in our image, Jesus was there. He wasn't named Jesus at that point, but He was there. He's the eternal Son of God. So now He's praying, Father, would You please just return that glory back to me. Okay, one of the first Sundays I was here, I did this. I got to do it again. Now, she has looked at me for months, almost a year. So now, okay. So, we're going to finish this, okay? You're going to finish this. Glorify thou me with thine own self. With thine own self. That when I return back, I'm at your right hand. So, that's what he's going to do. He said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they've kept thy word. Thine they were, thine they were, thine they were. Does that mean we've always been God's? I believe so. Even before the foundation of the world, we were his. Before that, we were a glint in our mama's eyes, we were his. We belonged to him. He says, now they've known all things whatsoever thou hast given are of thee. So, again, taking that knowledge that we receive from God's word and it becoming a part of who we are. Becoming a part of how we deal with life. Becoming a part of how we respond. Not just react, but respond to the things that are thrown our way in life. So Jesus says, this is what it's all about. There was a commercial that was on several years ago. And I hate to even mention this, but I will. It was a beer commercial. And these men were sitting by the river and drinking their beer and said, just doesn't get any better than this. Can I tell you, it gets a lot better than that. That's nothing. She'll be back. Mama will be back. Mama will be back. I may need some help here. Mama will be back. Mama will be back. This is life, living with Jesus, walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus, experience who Jesus is. It's a great. Okay, now go down with me to verse 20. That neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Verse 20. In other words, in verse 20 it tells us that not only was Jesus praying for those 11, but I'm asking some questions this morning. Do you believe on him today? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he died for your sins? Do you believe that his blood washed your sins away? Do you believe that as you stand before God, you are made whole through Jesus Christ and no other? He's praying for you. When you pray, when you read this prayer, you can understand and know he's praying for you. Even though it's 2,000 years ago, you're included in this prayer. He says that they all, and this is the part that I want to leave with you today, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. He's praying for the unity of the body. And I'm leaving you with this thought today. You know, sometimes we see things as we want to, not as we want to see them, but as we think we see them. But I believe with all of my heart that all things work together for good. For them who love the Lord. Do you love the Lord? I know the answer to that. I know you do. For them that love the Lord, for them who are the called according to his purpose. God has a purpose. We don't always understand as it's beginning to unfold. We don't always understand exactly what's going on in that moment, in that time. But yet, if we can hold to this, that Jesus is praying, that he's praying for us, he's giving us his love. And I'd be remiss if I didn't read the last verse in this. There's so much in there, but the last verse. He says, I have declared unto them thy name. I'm not Jesus. I don't claim to be. If you're around me long enough, 5 minutes, you'll know for a fact I'm not Jesus. But the one thing that I hope that I have done is to declare the name of Jesus Christ. Even if you forget my name, it's okay. But don't forget the one that I've tried to preach to you. Don't forget Jesus. And don't forget the Father. He says, if I can get my eyes straight here now. He said, I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it. Listen to this. Listen to this. Let this soak in. Listen to this really, really close. That the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Did you hear what Jesus said? God loves you with the exact same love that He loves His only begotten Son. That's shouting ground to me. And when will, the question usually is asked, well, when did God start loving you? I think the better question is, when will God stop loving you? Well, if you can find a time when He stops loving His Son, then He'll stop loving you. But remember the word eternal. Eternal. Does that mean here today and gone tomorrow? Eternal. I'm certainly not a math major, but I remember infinity. Infinity. Where does infinity end? It doesn't end, does it? Thank you, Sister Annette. You're the math teacher. It doesn't end. It doesn't end in the past. It doesn't end in the future. It goes on and on and on. No matter what takes place in this life, the love that God has for His Son is the same love that He has for you. And I wish I could tell you that I have that same love for you, but I'm not God. If I was God, I would have that same love for you. But I love you as much as is humanly possible. And again, my eyes are cloudy, but I want to try to look at every one of you to let you know that that's the truth. That I love you as much as I possibly can. And that love will never, never stop. Thank you all. Just thank you all. May we pray.